This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. None has the right to our ultimate love and devotion except Allah alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam and submission. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kins. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best speech are the words of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst thing in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are considered to be innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and it leads to the hellfire. More than 2/3 of Ramadan have already passed. It just seems like last week we were talking about Ramadan approaching and coming near, and that's the same story that we tell every year. Every year we say Ramadan runs by so quickly. And you know, in reality, it's our lives that are running out. The time that we have here in this life is running out. Time is passing on. The clock is ticking. And we don't realize that day in and day out, we're coming closer to our death. We're coming closer to the transition from this life into the hereafter. And we know that in this life, Allah has given us the gift of choice. As Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu said, اليوم عمل ولا حساب وغدا حساب ولا عمل. Today there is actions, there is deeds. You can do, you can choose. But in the hereafter, there's no choice. In this life, you can make choices, you can do actions, you can decide. And there is no account. Allah's not holding you to account in this life. But once you make the transition, it's the other way around. There is no deeds, there's no choice. You can't do anything. But there is the account. There are the consequences of what you have done in this life. And you are bound by those consequences. That's the difference between this life and the hereafter. The difference between death, as some people think, death is ceasing to exist, is the end of life. Death is not the end of life. Death is a transition. Death is the end of choice. Because once you die, you can't make any choices anymore. And that's why when people die, they seek and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send them back so they can make better choices. So that's the whole thing about death, is that it's the end of your choice, period. There's no choice from now on. It's consequences of your choices. So it's time now to make choices. And as Ramadan is passing by and is reaching its end, those who have not done good use of, have not made good use of Ramadan, those who have done probably their best in Ramadan, that's the time for you to give your best. Give your all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Offer whatever you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind you of this beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلِلَّهِ عُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees some people from the hellfire. There are people that Allah will free from the hellfire. So they were on their way to the hellfire, but Allah freed them from the hellfire and saved them from the hellfire. Every night in Ramadan, there will be a group of people that will be freed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts. Allah looks at our hearts. There are people who are negligent of fasting, negligent of the prayer. They're Muslim by name. They don't even know anything about Ramadan. These people who deserve the pity. These are the people who have lost these great treasures of this month. But there are people who observe the fast and there are people who pray, but they do this mindlessly. Their minds are somewhere else. They stand in the prayer, but they don't feel it. They're not even there. Their minds are dwelling on something different. And they do the fast, but they're just going through the motions because everyone is fasting. They just happen to fast like everyone else. But there are people who are, when they fast, they know that I'm doing this for my Creator. I'm doing this as an act of devotion. I am aware that I'm depriving myself and I'm abstaining from food and drink and sexual desire. I'm abstaining from all of this because Allah loves it, because Allah wants it, and I'm doing it in devotion to Allah, in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I'm doing these things. This person will get the greatest reward from Allah. And these are the people that Allah is happy with. And these are the ones when they stand up in prayer, they feel that they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the authentic hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your looks, your appearance, your beauty, your the way you dress, the way you present yourself. Allah doesn't look at that. Because that's not a deciding factor of how good you are or how bad you are. That's not a deciding factor whether you end up in the hellfire or in paradise. Rather, Allah looks at your hearts. That's what Allah is concerned with, is your hearts, the state of your hearts, and then your actions. Because your actions stem from your heart. And if your actions are soulless, they don't have any heart in them, they don't count. Or they count for very little. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants your heart. So when you are praying, when you are fasting, when you are reciting Quran, Allah wants to see your heart. Allah wants to see the state of your heart. Is Allah in your heart? Are you doing these things for the sake of Allah? Do you feel the love of Allah? Do you feel the guidance of Allah? Do you feel the inspiration of Allah as He has allowed you to do these great acts of worship? Do you feel that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the point behind the worship. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he enters the masjid and he sees there's a rope that has been tied between two poles in the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has never seen this before. So he asks, what is this? They said, this is for Zainab, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She prays at night and she's too tired sometimes. She's sleepy, so she doesn't want to lose focus, she doesn't want to fall asleep, so she leans on this rope to keep praying. The Prophet ﷺ says, untie it, take it off. He said, take it off. He says, sallu, or you pray whenever you have the ability to focus and pray. Don't push yourself too hard. Then he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلُّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. That Allah will reward you. And Allah will, as the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith, that when you pray, Allah turns His face towards you. That Allah will turn His face towards you unless you are praying heedlessly. You're just going through it but not feeling it. Allah's going to turn away from you. So when you pray, when you fast, when you do any act of worship, you do that with a present heart. From your soul, from the bottom of your heart. Don't think it's about the motions. The motions are just the vessel for your inner state, for your heart. The salah itself is important. You cannot give it up. You cannot do away with it. But that's the external vessel. That's the physical vessel of the state of your heart and your spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be engaged completely with the external vessel to the exclusion and the negligence of the heart of this act of prayer. And that's what we should be doing in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And that's the peak time in the whole year. And this is why when the Prophet told about the Prophet ﷺ that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan approached, the Prophet ﷺ would stay in the masjid. He would make i'tikaf in the masjid. And in the narration it says, اِعْتَزَلَ نِسَاءَهُ وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَرُ. The Prophet ﷺ would keep away from his family, from his wife. He would stay in the masjid. Why? Complete focus on worship. These are 10 nights. I'm going to devote them completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ would wake up his family to pray. And that's a sunnah that is forgotten. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ The Prophet ﷺ would wake up his wives. Wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. Those who have spouses and those who have children, when was the last time you woke up your spouse or your children to read Quran or make salah? Why do you just worry about yourself coming to the masjid or fasting and doing your own ibadah, but your kids are just playing and are clueless about it? And your wife is busy doing other things because she has too many things to do. You worry about their provision, you worry about buying them food and clothes and toys and different things. But when it comes to the worship, we don't think about our families. The best gift that you can give to your wife is sometime wake her up and tell her, let's pray two rak'ah. Pray for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come on, let's read. You find your wife one day sitting in the house, approach her and say, come on, let's read Quran together. Some people even feel shy doing this. Some people feel shy talking to their kids. Come on, let's pray together. Come on, let's read a couple of pages from the Quran together. Come on, let me teach you this surah. That's what the companions used to do. That's what the tabi'in used to do. This is how the Muslims used to behave. For those who don't come to the masjid for all their prayers, when you're at home, do you make a jama'ah with your wife and your kids? Why not teach them? Why not teach them? If you're just staying at home and you decide to pray at home, at least make a jama'ah with your family. Teach your kids from now the importance of the salah. Let the memories that they have about their parents, let them be connected to Allah, that it's the prayer. I used to pray with my dad. He taught me how to pray. My dad taught me this surah. My dad taught me how to pray at night. It was my dad who talked to me about Allah and gave me so much information about Allah. It's my dad, it's my mother. So these are important things. Important things in the last 10 nights to do. So whatever these past 21 days have been, how your case was with Ramadan, it's not over. That's the time to pay attention. Because the Prophet ﷺ, one day he was about to tell the companions of the Prophet his companions radiyallahu anhum about Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. The night of power, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about clearly in the Quran. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. The Quran, we revealed it. We send it down during the night of Al Qadr, the night of power. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ When Allah says, and do you know what Laylatul Qadr? That means Allah is talking about something big. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ The night of power, the night of decree is greater than 1,000 months, than 80 plus years. It's a lifetime. One night accounts for a lifetime. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. The angels will be descending from heavens on earth to bring blessings and peace and tranquility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تنزل الملائكة والروح Even Jibreel comes down. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Peace. That night is peace. Is full of peace till the break of dawn. And some of the scholars say the reason that one of the signs of Laylatul Qadr that you will see the sun without rays, without so much glare, is because the angels have occupied the horizon. This is something said by many scholars. It's a peaceful night. It's a night when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That night is better than a lifetime of worship. And you will find it on the Day of Judgment. And we don't know what it is because the Prophet ﷺ came out to tell the companions. But two companions had an argument, had a dispute among them. So the knowledge of that night was taken away from the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّي خَرَجْتُ لِأُخْبِرَكُمْ بِلَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ فَتَلَاحَى فُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ فَنُسِّيْتُهَا I came out to tell you about Laylatul Qadr, which night it was. But so and so had a dispute. And it was I was made to forget it. It was taken away. And that shows what disputes among Muslims do. What disagreements among Muslims do. What fights among Muslims do. What hatred among Muslims do. Takes away the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes away the gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes away the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the last 10 nights, you exert yourself. You don't know what Laylatul Qadr is, but it's worth it that you push yourself these last 10 nights. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahya laylahu. You the last 10 nights, he would stay up almost the whole night. Almost the whole night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not doesn't have to be completely prayer. You can pray. You can make dhikr. You can recite Qur'an. You can make dua. You can spend the whole night making istighfar. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you seek forgiveness and it happens to be Laylatul Qadr, imagine what that be. It would be as if you were seeking forgiveness from Allah for a lifetime. 80 plus years. It's so simple. So simple. I'm telling you, 9 days from now, around 19 days from now, Ramadan would be over. And whether you slept or whether you were awake, it would become part of your past. You'd forget about it. So make sure you leave it as an asset, not as a wasted time. The last 10 nights, don't ever waste them. This is the golden time in the year. You can't waste it. You can't do away with this, no matter what your situation is. And you can also do sadaqah. You can also do sadaqah and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during these last 10 nights, give more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're more likely to meet Laylatul Qadr. And imagine you give sadaqah one night, and it is as if you have given the sadaqah for what? 1,000 months. 1,000 months. So it's one night, you're looking at around, you give it one time as if you have given it 30,000 times. Because that's what 1,000 months is. So these are the great nights. We should not miss out on them. Keep them in mind. Do your best. And as Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to make a dua. And he used to say, Allahumma aj'al khayra a'marina awakhiraha wa khayra a'malina khawatimaha. Oh Allah, make the best of our days, the last of them. The last part of our life, make it the best. And the best of our deeds, make them the last ones. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most important. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His mercy. So don't waste this time. And a lot of the scholars mentioned that with Laylatul Qadr, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Fattah, becomes manifest. And Al-Fattah is the one who creates an opening for you. It's some sort of an epiphany. Where things just change in your life. At one point, it's like a turning point in your life. That happens usually during Laylatul Qadr. When someone is sincere and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the hearts of humanity and He sees your heart is sincere and has so much love for Allah, Allah might give you fath. This is why Allah is al-fattah. He might create an opening for you. He's the opener. He opens something for you and everything in your life changes to the best. That's an opportunity in the last 10 nights. So don't waste any of those nights. Seek it. Seek Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of these last 10 days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to meet Laylatul Qadr and benefit from it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Ramadan is a time for worship and it's the month of the Quran. As we previously clarified, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for mankind. So this Quran is guidance. Spend more time reciting Quran. It is said that Imam al-Shafi'i used to recite the Quran so often, but when it came to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he would recite it once, at least once each day. Every day of the last 10 nights, he would recite it one time. So he would finish the Qur'an the last 10 days, 10 times. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ advised not to recite the Qur'an in less than 3 days. But the scholars say that there are, when some special times come, this could be an exception. Because this practice has been observed from some companions like Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. A lot of the early generations, they have observed this only in special times. In special occasions like the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the first 10 days of the Hijjah, and so on and so forth. These great times, these high season for good deeds. So there is some kind of an exception. So that shows, spend some time with the Qur'an. Try to recite it. Try to understand it. Try to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Qur'an. The guidance is found in the Qur'an and none other. It's found in the Qur'an and whatever explains it from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, I will conclude this khutbah with just a very general reminder. A very general reminder that your life is your responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah. Have taqwa. Be dutiful to Allah. Observe the rights of Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And let every soul look at what it has prepared for the morrow, for tomorrow. For your real tomorrow, and that's the hereafter. This whole life is just a preparation. And Allah can take it away from you in the blink of an eye. A lot of us feel comfortable in this life. You feel you're going to live until your 80s, 90s, until 100. A lot of people have high hopes about how long they can live. But anything can happen. Humans are fragile. Life is so easy to end. And it ends unexpectedly. Just this morning I was looking at some news about, you know, the high-rise building in London, West London, that burnt a couple of days ago. And a lot of the people there actually were Muslim. But I saw this Italian couple, and they had just 6 months ago, they moved from Italy to the UK, two architects, two newlywed couple. Two architects. They were very intelligent. They seemed to be having like a bright future ahead of them. And they just moved there and they were living on one of the top floors. And they were communicating with their family. And as the fire started, they thought, oh, the firefighters are going to fight it. And they called their families and they said, we are okay. And specifically the girl, she had big plans for the future. She was very ambitious, very intelligent, very special. So she had plans for the future, and they didn't evacuate because they thought firefighters are going to have everything under control. And just 20 minutes later, she calls her mom and she says, we're stuck. There's so much smoke, we can't leave, we're on the top floor, we can't leave anymore. Sorry, I won't be able to hug you again. And that's the end. That's the end. She says, one of her statements is that this is unfair. I had a bright future ahead of me, and now I'm not going to have it. So no one knows. No one knows when we're going to leave this life. You don't know. It could be at any second. Could be any reason. Could be no obvious reason. And how many young people died? How many old people died? Healthy people died. Men died. Women died. Everyone dies, right? And no one knows when their death is going to come. The point and the challenge is to be ready for death whenever it comes. You're ready. That's the challenge. That's the ultimate test of this life. So who knows? Don't look at yourself. Don't think you're young. Don't think you're healthy enough to live a bit more. Allah knows. Allah knows. So the point is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and prepare for tomorrow. Prepare for tomorrow. What have you prepared for tomorrow? You've been given resources. You've been given time. You've been given awareness and consciousness. You've been given a mind. You've been given everything in this life. You survive, you can eat, you can drink. And here you have the time. And you have been given the guidance. What are you going to do with this life? That's the challenge. What are you going to do? Because you will be questioned about every second in this life. What did you do with it? I gave it to you so that you live in devotion to me. That's what Allah is going to say to you. What did you do with it? That's the point. That doesn't mean you sit at home and do nothing. No, it means you do everything for Allah, even the normal things you do. feeding your children, looking after your family, helping others, giving salam to someone, walking down the street, doing your work, being kind and nice to others. All of these can be great acts of worship. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, even a husband approaches his wife, there is reward in this. That's what Islam is. Islam is about living life, but you live it in love for Allah. Don't make it complicated. Because when you make it complicated, you opt out of it. You say, I don't want to be extreme. But when you realize that everything you do, even your sleep, you can turn it into worship. That's when you make good use of your time. Don't harm others. Don't do any harm to others. And keep your records with Allah clear from any kind of oppression or injustice. And be dutiful to Allah. It's as simple as that. That's what Islam is. Give Allah His rights. Give people their rights and give yourself your rights. That's all what Islam is about. That's all. It's as simple as that. That's what all what Islam tells us. Give everyone their rights. That's what Islam is about. And there's no better time to contemplate about your life better than this time. Better than Ramadan, when the devils are chained. When your soul reaches a peak in terms of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the time when you start seriously thinking about your life. And this is why a lot of the stories of transformation, people changing to the better, if you consider that, you will see Ramadan played a major factor in these people's lives. People who changed their ways in life, people had a turning point. Usually it happens in Ramadan because that's a blessing and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to do so much work. Just show sincerity to Allah. Call upon Allah from the bottom of your heart that He helps you, that He changes you, that He brings you to Him. Do that sincerely and you will see. Leave the rest for Allah. Allah will guide you. Allah will guide you. Allah will give you the energy. Allah will give you the inspiration. Allah will bring the right people into your life to guide you to Him. That's how Allah works. But He just wants to see sincerity from your heart. So turn that to Allah. Turn your heart these days to Allah. Do what you can. Don't push yourself more than what you can. Just do what you can. Acknowledge your shortcomings. And just say to Allah, I'm helpless. That's all I can do. But I need your help. That's better than you pray the whole night and you feel good about yourself because you prayed. This sense of lack and weakness in front of Allah, sense of reliance and helplessness in front of Allah is far better than doing great acts of worship and feeling satisfied with yourself. That's what the worshippers used to warn against, that you feel good about yourself when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last call that I'm going to leave you with is, first of all, it's a shout out to everyone in this community, alhamdulillah, for the last couple of fundraising that we have done. That was excellent, the response was profound, and the generosity keeps proving itself in this community. May Allah reward you. May Allah double your reward in these special nights. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. And may Allah put barakah in your wealth and barakah in your families. And may Allah shower you more with His blessings. And there's another call as well that for today inshallah and probably towards the end of Ramadan, there will be a couple of fundraising. And don't see this as a burden. Don't see this as a burden. Someone who cannot give for the sake of Allah, your conditions do not allow, give very little of what you can. And don't overburden yourself. And don't feel bad about this. But it's an opportunity for you in these special nights to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an opportunity for you to help a masjid, to help an Islamic center, which tries to keep our youth away from all these temptations. And I'm telling you, on a weekly basis, I deal with people who leave Islam. People are born into Muslim families, young brothers and sisters who leave Islam. And I deal with this on a weekly basis and sometimes it gets overwhelming. We need to provide a safe environment for our younger generation in order to maintain their Islamic or their Muslim identity, in order to remain Muslim, in order to face these challenges. There's a lot of social pressure, political pressure, peer pressure, media pressure. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of bullying going around and it affects people and their decisions. And we need to empower our community. We need to grow stronger, otherwise the consequences will be very painful. And you don't want to see and you don't want to be a father or a parent and see your child leaving Islam. It's so painful. It is so painful. And I've seen some of those parents and it breaks your heart when you see them. So we need to we still, as I said, this is an opportunity for you to come closer to Allah, and the sadaqah is a great act of worship, and doing it during these last 10 nights, there's a great chance and there's a great opportunity that inshallah it might fall within one of those blessed nights or blessed days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawm al kafirin. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina 'adhaban nar. Allahumma taqabbal minna as-siyama wal qiyam wa tilawata al qur'an برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم وفقنا لقيام ليلة القدر. اللهم وفقنا لقيام ليلة القدر. اللهم وفقنا لقيام ليلة القدر. اللهم كن المستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان. اللهم احقن دماءهم وصن أعراضهم. اللهم احفظ عليهم دينهم وإيمانهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصل اللهم وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.